all the wonders that I yet have heard, it seems to me most strange that men should fear, seeing that death, the necessary end, will come when it will come.
To as many of us that are celebrating this season, happy Easter to us all. Welcome back to The Historics with Ceci. I am your host, Chioma Okorafor. This is a podcast where we bring you true, interesting, factual, and historical stories that happened way, way back in the past. Some of these stories are popular, like you already know them, while some others are really not that popular and you don't know them, and you really should get to know them. All around the world, this week is known as the Holy Week, the week commemorating the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. See, I am a Christian and I love everything Easter. And also, as a historian, I am definitely interested in knowing how Easter came to be. To shed more light on this topic, we have a guest on the show today, Reverend Emmanuel Ibinien. He is the presiding bishop of Mandate of Heaven Ministries in River State, Port Harcourt, here in Nigeria. He has a degree in guidance and counseling. He's a relationship expert. He's a business guru. And actually, he has a lot of titles under his belt, okay? He's going to talk to us about Easter, its history, its significance, and everything in between. Okay, enough talk. Let's dive right in. You are welcome to the show, sir.
Hello, wonderful people. I want to thank God for the privilege to come your way, and I want to thank you for allowing me into your space. I want to thank the presenter, Chioma Okorafor, for giving me this opportunity to share with you. It's a wonderful season, the Holy Week of Easter, where we have a combination of very, very, very wonderful events. The Last Supper, very wonderful and significant, and particularly the death and resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I want to say a big happy Easter to everyone hearing the sound of my voice. And I want to say a big, 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 glorious celebration, physically, spiritually, for you and your family in this wonderful season. May the Lord God open your minds, your heart, your spirit to the great intent of the heavenlies concerning the death and resurrection of Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'd like to quickly take you into a few words, historical proof that has to do with the death and resurrection of Jesus beyond the scriptures. You know, I've had a lot of people, especially people from the other faith, who believe that Jesus never died. They believe that the issue of Jesus' death and resurrection is a myth, is one of those fallacies or one of those faboos, one of those fairy tales, and what have you. But I want to give you clear evidences, you know, through the mouth of witnesses, a matter shall be established. It's not enough for one person to say he did it. It is important also that other refined, genuine, impeccable characters will also come forth and attest to that fact. Clear-cut evidences. Even in the court of law, clear-cut evidences are supreme. And so I want to bring you non-biblical evidences that prove that indeed the death and resurrection of Christ Jesus was an event that took place upon this planet Earth more than 2,000 years ago. You know, the Bible told us, gave us an account of this wonderful event in Matthew chapter 27, verse 32 to 61, chapter 28, verse 1 to 7, in Mark chapter 15, verse 33 to 47, and the same Mark 16 from verse 1 to 8, in Luke 23, verse 44 to 56, and in Luke 24, verse 1 to 12, in John Gospel chapter 19, verse 28 to 42, and in chapter 20, verse 1 to 10. But I want us to look at non-biblical evidence across the historical years that gave us facts and figures that that event that took place about 2,000 years ago was indeed real. All right, there were ancient historians. Let's go into history now. There were ancient historians, and I'm so glad that this podcast is particularly tailored to bring us history of people who lived great lives and how they died, some of them. But here we have the Savior of the world who died and resurrected. There is no one else in history that has this wonderful, glorious storyline to tell about dying and resurrecting. No prophet, no great personality, no guru, no Maharaj, no teacher, no great teacher, no Dasana. Every one of them, no matter how great they are, they lived and they died. But Jesus lived, died, resurrected, and then went back to heaven. And so we have a historic account of a man named Tacitus. Tacitus lived in the first century AD, and in his write-up, he wasn't a Christian, in his write-up, he wrote about Christians that suffered under a particular Roman leader called Pontius Pilate. This man wrote in the first century AD. He wasn't a Christian, but his historical books still with us today include a write-up where he described Christians and how they suffered under Pontius Pilate. And of course, you know, Pilate was one of those that sanctioned the execution of Christ. Number two, there is another historian called Josephus. Josephus was a Jewish historian. He was actually born after the death of Jesus. Around AD 37 to 97, this man existed, and his books are still with us today. And he said, talking about Jesus, he wrote that Jesus died and appeared alive again to many of his disciples. So this historian, who wasn't a Christian, a Jewish man, Josephus, between AD 37 and AD 97, gave a clear account that there is a clear story about the death and resurrection and appearance of Christ to his disciples after his resurrection. There was another great historian by the name of Tallus, who existed around AD 52. In his write-up, he described the death of Christ so similar to the book of Luke Gospel. In his description, you would think that he was one of the disciples of Jesus, but he wasn't. But he described it because he was in existence at that time. And it's interesting to know that the book of Luke was written around AD 65, but this man wrote around AD 52. So his write-up were earlier than the Gospel of Luke in the Bible, and he described clearly clearly the death and resurrection of Jesus. These are historians, and there are so many others, great historians. Independently, they were not Christians. They wrote about the account. They wrote about what happened within that period in the land of Israel when Jesus died and resurrected. There is another historian by the name of Suetonius. Within AD 70 to AD 160, he was a Roman, a very popular Roman historian. And it's good to know that the Romans were the colonizing power of the Jewish nation at the time of Christ. People like Pilate, people like Herod were administrators sent from Rome, sent by the Caesars to govern the affairs of the Jewish nation. So that was why in the time of Jesus, it was the Romans who were politically in power, and they were the one who carried out the execution of Jesus. And of course, you know that learning date back to 1,000 years, even before the birth of Christ. So they were clear-cut write-up by historians and great people in different governments of the Babylonian kingdom, of the Medo-Persian kingdom. And we have history back in the years about this kingdom and how they rule and reign, even before we have the Roman Empire. And so Suetonius, within AD 70 and 160, he was a Roman historian whose work is to analyze and to write about the empirical house. He writes for the government, and he wrote so many things about the Roman reign, Roman dominion in so many areas, including the Jewish nation. In his biography of Nero, the ruler of the Roman Empire between AD 54 and AD 68, he says in one of his write-up, punishment was inflicted on the Christians, a class of men given to a new and mischievous, superstitious belief that punishment were given to these Christians because of their superstitious belief that Jesus Christ died and resurrected, and they as believers, when they die one day, they will also resurrect and go be with Jesus. You know, it's fallacy, it's heresy, it's a taboo then to say such things when we have gods of different shapes and kind that are being worshipped with different ideology and doctrines in the time of the Roman Empire. So those were great historians giving us great account of what the death and resurrection of Christ was all about. If we also look again at the Jewish source, the Jewish nation, you need to know, are not primarily Christians. They had the Mosaic law and they have the Jewish religion, which is their mainstay even till date. We have a lot of Jews who are Christian, but the Jewish religion still had a major anchor in the land of Israel. So the Jewish people regard themselves as followers of the law of Moses, not followers of Jesus. And so independently, they also wrote in their Talmud between AD 70 and AD 200, they wrote about Jesus. In the 5th century, they state that Jesus was in the tomb, but resurrected, and people went to the tomb to do the Jewish normal custom of anointing the body with oil for preservation for a while, and discover that the body was no longer there. So the Jewish history attests to the death and resurrection of Jesus. Now let's look at the Gentiles. Gentiles refer to non-Jewish scholars. Among the non-Jewish scholars, a particular one by the name of Lucian also wrote that it's on record that Jesus was the founder of a religion, a spiritual movement a group of people called Christians, and that he was crucified for his teachings, his beliefs, and his doctrines. Lucian, a non-Jewish man, a non-Christian, wrote about this. And then we have another one called Maraba. Maraba happened to be a Syrian. He was a Syrian, the neighboring country to the Jewish nation, and existed in the late first century. He wrote in his own work of writing a letter to his son, and he was trying to describe how a particular personality from the Jewish race called Jesus was executed. The writings are still here with us today. Now, we have other non-biblical source we call the Gnostic source. Now, these refer to books that were not part of the Bible, but were written by other religious, other authors, and they said similar things to what the Bible said. We have the Gospel of Truth in the second century that talks about the death and resurrection of Jesus. We have the Gospel of Thomas in the second century that talk about the death and resurrection of Jesus. We have the treatise on the resurrection in the second century. They also talk about the death and resurrection of Jesus. We have the Gospel of Peter. It also talks about the death and resurrection of Jesus. Now, finally, just one more. We have what we call the lost sources. These are books that are lost, but some paragraph of these lost books are being quoted in other books that existed within the same historical period. In other words, these books were lost, but they were quoted. Okay, for instance, some part of the Bible you hear as it is written in the book of Jasper. So these books were lost. They are lost into history, but then they were quoted by other books that are with us today that existed within the same period. These other books were lost, if you understand what I'm trying to say. And there is the Act of Pontius Pilate. The Act of Pontius Pilate that says that Jesus was crucified, and during his crucifixion, he was nailed in the hands and in the feet. So the Act of Pontius Pilate gave us evidence, that's talking about the history of a ruler called Pontius Pilate, gave us evidence that during his reign, in the time of Jesus, he ordered and sanctioned the crucifixion of Christ, and that he was crucified, nailed in the hands and feet. We have a Philogion, born around AD 80, who also wrote that Jesus was alive and that he died and that he rose again and have life after death. Praise the Lord. I'd like to say in conclusion that a crucified Savior is not a plus, physically speaking, to a religious set. And so, if there's anything Christians will have loved to wipe away to make their religion look good and attractive, it is to wipe away the fact that Jesus was crucified and that he died. You know, many people will say, how would God allow Jesus to die? I mean, is God not all powerful? Why will he have allowed Jesus to die? No, they didn't die. They didn't kill him. You know, he escaped, or it was somebody like him that was dead and all that and all that. And the little answer to that is this. It is so significant to the faith, so significant to Christianity, that is the mainstay of Christianity, that For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever will believe in him will not perish but have everlasting life. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. That all have sinned and come short of the glory of God and need the redemption power of Christ. That indeed we're redeemed by the precious blood of the Lamb. And so the death of Christ, the shedding of his blood to wash away our sin that have been judged, to break the yoke of death that hangs upon our heads as humanity, Jesus had to pay with his life. He had to pay with his blood. So we're not ashamed of the cross. That is what gave us life. We're not ashamed of the cross. That is what gave us eternal life. We're not ashamed of the cross, for that is what make way for us to be able to lift our hands as holy people, because our sins are washed away and we have a new life in Christ. And above all, to show that our lives have a dominion reign season that is coming, a season where the dead in Christ will also resurrect. Jesus became the first fruit of resurrection to show us and to prove to us that indeed that resurrection he talks about is real and will come to pass very, very soon one day. You see, many people will say, oh, the Bible has been changed. Oh, the Bible has been corrupted. There is no other scripture that have so much evidence and proof over so many thousands of years that prove its genuity, clarity, truth, and infallibility. In the Old Testament, we have hundreds of prophecies about every event, every significant event in the New Testament. In Isaiah, who lived about 400-500 years ago before the birth of Jesus, he told us how he's going to be born. He told us how he's going to die. I mean, there are prophecies in the Bible to let us know the event and how the event will unfold. These were prophecies written by men who had some 1,000 years, 2,000 years life apart from Christ Jesus, but they wrote it down and it came to pass. The Bible is a prophetic book. Thousands of years ago, men were raised, prophets were raised, they wrote this thing down. They never knew what it's all about. And thousands of years after, it came to pass. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God so loved us that he made this wonderful season a reality more than 2,000 years ago. The death and the resurrection of Jesus. Beloved of God, just want to let you know that the death and resurrection of Jesus is real, so real. Beyond the biblical proof, the evidences were there. And it was for the remission of sin. It was to appease the judgmental part of God, the judgmental part of nature, the judgmental part of the realms. The law states that he that sinneth shall die. And God will not set aside the law because he's God. No, he is God because whatever he says, he sticks to it. And that is what makes him God. The Lord God bless you. The Lord God keep you, shine his face upon you. Give you a wonderful season of Easter. Open your eyes through dreams and revelation and insight to see the significance of his death, burial, and resurrection. For those of you who are not so sure, may God visit you all over the world, in Iran, in Saudi Arabia. Jesus himself is appearing to people and speaking to them. That's to let you know it's not just the evidence of preacher. Jesus himself is appearing to men and women all over the world. Sheikh, imams, Muslims, atheists, all over the world. Jesus is appearing to them and they are giving their life to Christ without anybody preaching to them. This Jesus is real, is real, is real. I used to tell somebody, don't you think if all we're saying about Jesus is not true and Jesus will not have appeared to one of us and tell us, or appear to somebody and say, what they're saying about me is not true. Every day he keep appearing and confirming the scriptures. There is no way else God will want to reach out to you if not through these signs and wonders happening everywhere. May God open your eyes to see. May God help you to come to the knowledge of the truth so that you can repent of your sin, accept this saving grace of Jesus, and have your name in the book of life in the name of Jesus. Once again, a happy Easter to you, to your family. And may God bless you, keep you. And if you've not given your life to Christ, what an opportunity to accept this mercy, to accept this mercy. Someone came and he died for your sins so that you will not die. All you need to do is accept him, confess your sin, and turn away from your sin. And that's it. You become his son and you're qualified. For one day, this globe will come to a close. And I pray that when it comes to a close, you will be among those who will be in that heavenly place with God and his holy angels. The Lord bless you, keep you, and shine his face upon you. Once again, happy Easter. God bless you.
It is a beautiful feeling knowing about your roots, knowing where you come from, knowing the history of your beliefs, and becoming confident in the knowledge that no matter what you go through, someone powerful has got your back. That same someone has got your history and even went as far as to lay down his life for you. It is indeed a beautiful feeling. God bless you too, sir, and thank you for an amazing expose. I was totally blessed, and I'm sure a lot of our listeners were actually blessed too. Okay, folks, this is where we draw the curtain for today. Remember, you can reach Reverend Emmanuel Ibinian on Facebook at Apostle Emmanuel Ibinian. It's that easy, at Apostle Emmanuel Ibinian. And you can reach my humble self on Facebook at Chioma Okorafo. And on Instagram at The Historics with CC. Once again, you can reach Reverend Emmanuel Ibinian on Facebook at Apostle Emmanuel Ibinian. You can reach my humble self on Facebook at Chioma Okorafo, and on Instagram at The Historics with CC. Have a blessed Easter weekend, and until next Throwback Thursday, keep making history. Bye.